Okay. What I'd like to do is, since we did Shabbos briefly, I'd just like to expand on it a little bit, all right? So, what we did Shabbos was the pasuk in Vayechi by Yehuda. So the pasuk says that by the bracha to Yehuda. By the bracha to Yehuda, so one of the things that's mentioned there, among the other things, essentially that he received Malchus, and Yehuda Yitzchavar Vechishtachol Chabnei Avicha. Okay, so, yeah, so basically Yehuda received Malchus, Gura Yehuda. But the reason, the first thing that's mentioned, is Niterev Bini Elisa. Okay, so he says Niterev Bini Elisa. So Rashi says Mimasha Chashadaticha, B'tiu B'Torah Torah Yosef, Chaya Ruach Halasu, Zer Yehuda Shenimshu Liariyeh. So apparently Yaakov Avinu, it appears, never really was satisfied with the answers they gave him, and he had different suspicions. But then he says, "Mitzvah bnei Alisa solartos atzmacha v'amata ma beta." So Rashi says that he was praised because he was the one that stepped in and said, "Ma beta ki nara gesachinu v'chisinu es dama." So it's interesting. So he receives credit for that, and Reuven basically received rebuke, and he lost everything. He lost the Malchus and he lost the Kona. But it's interesting that the very Shevach that apparently was an element that was responsible for securing him his position, securing you this position of Malchus, when you look back at the story, it's very strange because it would appear just the opposite. And when you look back at the account of the Torah, so the Psukim say in Vayeshev after Shlishi, and right before Shlishi. When they hear some arachok, aysnaklos olam misa. So they said vato v'chuben agev v'nashlichel b'charabaros v'amayne chayarach halosu v'nirem ayichal amosav. The pasuk says v'yishma Reuven v'yatzileu miyadam v'yam alon akenanatesh. So Reuven was the first one that stepped in and saved him, alon akenanatesh. And then it says v'yam alam Reuven v'tishpachu dam. And says, "Why Laman Hatzil Oso Miyadam Hashiva Lovit?" That was really his intention. So he really was hoping that there'll be a moment when there won't be such vigilance over the bar, and he'll take him and he'll bring him back to his father, he'll save him. So he really who is the one that really had the interests of his father at heart? It was really Reuven. L'man hatzil oso miyadam l'hashiva alavet. And then in contradistinction, it would appear to Yehuda, because Yehuda says, "V'yamid alecho ma betza ki narag esachin v'chisina esdama." So he was stating a commercial intention. Ma betza, we're not going to gain anything. V'chuvinim ken l'yishmen v'dan alfiyavo. But on the surface, if you look at the way the two sons reacted, and you ask the father which is the loyal son, there is no doubt that an ordinary father would say it was Reuven. He was the one that had the father's interest at heart. He was the one that wanted to bring him back to his father alive. And yet, it's exactly the opposite. That Reuven receives rebuke and gains nothing from this, and Yehuda really walks away with a brachas. Strange phenomena. Interesting is also, if you look into the tainas a little deeper, that what was Reuven's taina? Reuven's taina was the taina that really was a taina that was intended to save him. which later you see when they came before Yosef, when the brothers came before Yosef. So what do you see? The first, when Yosef immediately charged them with espionage and treated them like spies. So then immediately it says that they recognize Hashem Anachna Lachinu, and then Ruin Sahyam Ruinasum Allah Mati Lacham Al Techatuva Yellow Lashmata. The Gam Damoine Nidrash. So you see that it's an interesting thing. Al Techatuva Yellow Velo Shemata. So you see that you see actually on the surface, superficially, he had no right to say that, because he said Ashlichu Sola Bor Zeh Sheba Midbar and the Yod Al Tishlachu Va. So, and it's interesting, Ramban says that what was the difference between Reuven and between Yehuda? So he says that Reuven's taina was also Al Tishbuchu Dam. They both have the same taina. But he says that Reuven just said, don't be Shofech Dam, be a Dayan. But put him into the bar and let him die in the bar. And Yehuda was the one that said, no. He said, don't even do Shvichas Damen B'Shev Al Tasa. Okay? So it's interesting. So what right did Reuven to say Al Techtu Vayelad? You see? So apparently from the way Reuven, what was Reuven's taina? Reuven's taina was, Ramban says, was by Yelad, that he's a youngster. Don't judge him. You can't judge him now because he's young. He's given to emotions and you can't really come to, you have no right to evaluate him and to say that he's chayav misa. So apparently when he said, Al tishbuchu dam ashtuchas ol habor hazeh ashev hamidbar, that was really tchilas tanaso. He wasn't, he's saying in the meantime, he wasn't saying, he was trying to hold off the din. But later in retrospect, he was able to say to the brothers, it was obvious that my first taina was not that he should be, that was just basically a tchilas a taina. In the meantime, let's not be shofech dam. We have no right to be shofech dam b'yadayim. But it was tchilas tanaso. And he was telling the brothers that it was obvious, you saw from where I was coming, that my intention was to go further. And his taina was, apparently he was telling that he was a mere yelet. And they have no right to be danu mamisa. You see that again, where he came back to the bar, and he wasn't there. He didn't find him. He went away. He remained, and then he came back. So he said, "Vayashiv after they sold him. Vayashiv even al bar v'nein yisur bar v'igres begoda. Vayashiv alecha v'yom ayel v'neinu. So v'ani on anivah. So ayel v'neinu. Called him a yelad." Yelled means because that was his judgment. His judgment was that he was a mere youngster, and he wasn't on the level where you could be done, where you could be done him, because he wasn't Ben Chof. He wasn't fully until Ben Chof, a person's in a different state. So Reuven's taina was really vindication. So it's interesting. Reuven's taina was vindication. And Yehuda's taina was not vindication. And yet Yehuda is the one that the father says, you saved my son, Miterev Bini Oisa. It seems exactly contradictory to the facts that of the account given in the Torah. Yeah. But apparently from the Psukim you see that there was a lot going on. It wasn't just a simple thing. I mean, like the Ramban says, the Psukim on the Katzer. But there was a whole scene, and apparently when Reuven said Ashlichu Sola Bor Hazeh, that was the least. He was saying that was the least you must do. You shouldn't be shofech dam. But really, he was telling that he's a yelled and he was telling that he's not chayiv misa. He was telling that we're being done him too quickly. We're rushing here into a din where we didn't really analyze him properly. And he was the one that really was pleading for Yosef to save his life, while Shiva loved it. And you was really the one that said, no, it's chayiv misa. But the only thing is, we're not going to gain anything, so let's sell him to some Yishmaelim, and then we'll make some money out of the deal. Yeah. So as I said, I mean, on the surface, and any average parent would certainly want to have a Reuven rather than a Yehuda, and would certainly praise a Reuven over Yehuda. But Yaakov Avinu did the exact opposite. Because Yehuda was the one, Mitarf Bani Elisa. You were the one that saved my son. So what we said was as follows: that Reuven's taina was really a mixed source. And you see, the Reuven's taina came from a mixed source. And this is expressed in the pasuk where he says, "Vani ona aniva." So he says, "Ona evrach mitzayro shel abba." So he felt a responsibility that he was the oldest, and he was the bechor. He was the one that was in charge, and he was moved by responsibility. And how could he face his father? His taina was a correct taina. Matter of fact, his taina was a taina semes. That was really the truth. That Yosef HaTzadik, I mean, Yosef HaTzadik was politically, he didn't have any savvy. And he made a mistake, and he did, there were certain things apparently that he did which were incorrect, and but basically he made a mistake, he made a mistake that a lot of people make politically. That he thought he made a great discovery, and he thought that everybody would be very happy and join in with him and enjoy his great discovery. But he met with tremendous animosity and tremendous envy. And he was politically, he didn't have the savvy and the knowledge of how to handle a situation. But then he did things which were Maisa Nairus. It's true, but it was Maisa Nairus. Reuven's taina was really in line with reality. His taina was the absolute truth. But the only thing was that this taina, the taina which was a true taina, but the truth emerged because it happened, the truth was very much tied to his emotions. And emotionally, his position was one that was very much in line with his taina. So while his taina was true, but he was very close to his emotions, to his emotional base. And because of that, he wasn't really able to achieve anything. You see, he wasn't really able to achieve anything. And had it been in Reuven's hands, Yosef would have been lost. Because the taina that he used, that he was too young, was not a taina that was accepted. And it wasn't an acceptable taina. And the idea that he's going to find a moment and he's going to save him and bring him back to his father, that was just wishful thinking. So while his taina was true, the source, or you can't say the only source, but his taina was very close to his emotions, very much in line with his emotions. And because his taina was in line with his emotions, and because he could not move himself away very far from those emotions, his move would definitely be defeated, and it wouldn't have done anything for Yosef. Would not have saved him. other hand, Yehuda, Yehuda's Taina was, he really made a wrong judgment. His judgment was that he was Chayav Misa. But Yehuda's Taina was a completely different Taina. Yehuda's Taina was that over here, basically, we're dealing with the two Din Torahs. One Din Torah is Yosef Chayav Misa not, and that he held he is Chayav Misa. But he said, but now there's another question. There's the question of Shvichas Damen. Do we have a right to be Shofech Dam? Because Shvichas Damen is a different kind of a... The right to be Shofech Dam is a different kind of a question. A person can be Chayav Misa, but Shvichas Damen is a completely different Indian. The Indian of Shvichas Damen is a different Indian. Dinen Mamen is one thing, but Dinei Nefashis belongs to a completely different realm. So you take a look, for instance, in Noach. So the pasuk says in Noach Tes Dalet. Ach Basar. It's in Noach. It's right after Revi in Noach. So it says Ach Basar. Ben Dama Benafshel Eschel Va'achas Dimchem Lenafshel Secha Medrash. Miyad kol chayo ed v'shenu. U'miyad ha'odon. Miyad ishochid ed v'shes nefesh odon. Shofech dam ha'odon, ba'odon dam ha'ishofech. Ki betzelam alakim ha'asas ha'odon. So Shvichas Damen belongs to a different realm. Shvichas Damen is the destruction of the Tzelam alakim. And no one has a right to destroy the Tzelam alakim. Unless he's authorized by God. Shvichas Damen belongs to a completely different realm. You see, for instance, here's an example. It says, "Va'achas dimchem l'nafshe sechem edrash." What does it mean? Is dimchem l'nafshe sechem? That means suicide. That means a person doesn't have the right l'nafshe sechem. So Rashi says. That afa pishim tati l'chem netilas neshama bebehema es dimchem edrash me'ashofech dam atzma. The person that destroys his own life. L'nafshe sechem afachonik atma. So what does that mean? That means that dinei nefashos, the nefesh ha'adam, is a completely different entity. For instance, a ben noach is metzuva ala gezel. So he can't, if he steals, he's chayav misa. He can't take somebody else's property. But his own money he can take and throw away all he wants. It's in his hands. So dinei mamonis is mitam la'adam, is biyad la'adam. And that's given to man. It's my property, I can do whatever I want with it. But my nefesh is not mine. Nefesh is the tzelem alakim. It's ma'aseh Hashem, and no one has a right to destroy the tzelem alakim. So keep it tzelem alakim ma'aseh sada. So that was really Yehuda's Taina. Yehuda's Taina was, Ramban says that was part of Reuven, was the one that started actually. But in Reuven, that was part of his Taina. But Yehuda saw that is the only really objective Taina. So Yehuda removed himself from the situation, and even though he was wrong in his judgment, but the fact is, he exercised chachma and removed himself, even though he held his chayav misa, he was able to remove himself from his emotions and gave a judgment which was based on chachma, that the shvichas damen is a different thing. Whether a person is chayav misa, that's something else. But shofech dam ha'adam, ki betzelam alakim ha'asa adam, places shvichas damen in a completely different realm. In that realm, man really has no right to enter. So therefore, he said, "We that Din Torah is a double Din Torah. The Din Torah on Yosef, if he's Chayev Misa, that's one thing. But even if we conclude he's Chayev, then there's another Din Torah. Do we have a right to be Shofech Dam? On that Paskin, he said, that we have no right to do. And that's really the meaning of his words. Ma betza ki naro gesachinu v'chisinu es dama. When it comes to ma mamon, when it comes to being mamonis, Targuma. If it's Mammon, that we have a right. He's a Rasha, so we have a right to his Mammon, we have a right to his Mechira, we have a right to use him in terms of Dina Mammonis, even him personally. But that we could paskin. But Shvichas Damim, that we have no right to paskin. So basically, that was Yehuda's Taina. So Yehuda's Taina was a Taina that was built on Chachma. It was an objective philosophical Taina. So that was Malchus. Malchus, in Yehuda's Taina, Yehuda exhibited two things. He exhibited the courage to go against the Achim. That was one Malchus. And secondly, the courage to go against his own emotions and to analyze the area completely objectively from a philosophical, from a metaphysical standpoint. That was Yehuda's move, and that's why when and the brothers were chachamim, and that's why the pasuk says that as soon as he said that, it says vayishmu echad, the brothers listened. So he, even though he was wrong in his judgment, but he employed those qualities that are deserving of Malchus and Vayishmu Echad, because they were moved by his argument. His argument was not a question of whether he's chayev, he's not chayev. It was a metaphysical argument. And he saw that over here, you see that this, now we're engaging in a different kind of an area. In this area, we have to analyze it metaphysically. Metaphysically, we cannot move ahead. And Vayishmu Echav and his brothers listen. So what Yaakov Avinu said was that it's better to be wrong and to be a chacham in control of one's emotions than to be right and to be in the grips of one's emotions, even though he has the most loyal intentions for his father. But an individual who embraces Chachma will bring about in this existence a greater justice than an individual who, even though he's in line with the truth, but is being in line with the truth, the source of his being in line with the truth was not qualities of Malchus. It was just emotional. It was tied very closely to emotional. Sources. So that's best. It's interesting that Reuven. You see Reuven again. Makes the mistake in with regard to Binyamin. Makes a similar mistake with regard to Binyamin. There's a slip here in terms of rationality, in terms of chachma. So you see again that Reuven had that problem, that even though he was in line with the MS, and he was willing to do what was right. I mean, Yehuda was the one that stepped in the same exact thing, but not different, a different kind of guarantee. So Reuven, it's interesting. It's like Reuven and Yehuda. But Reuven always, it seems, misses that, missed on that score. I mean, the emotions had a force on him, exercised an influence on him. I mean, of course, you know, I mean, we're not in a position to judge Reuven, and he's a shiftei kar, the greatest tzaddikim, but he wasn't devoid of truth. But the pasuk does point out that there was an emotional element there, and the emotional element was the reason why Yaakov Avinu, when he analyzed his sons, could not give the malchus to Reuven. But it's really not as simple as that, because were that the case, so then Yaakov Avinu should have taken the malchus away from him because of that. He should have said, why didn't he get the malchus? Because Yehuda was Mikarev Mini Alisa, and Reuven was one that that couldn't save Yosef. On the contrary, Yosef would have been killed. But he doesn't say that. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu in the Brachos does not say that. He doesn't say that's why Reuven doesn't get the Malchus. He doesn't get the Malchus. Because in the pasuk after Ravi, where it says Reuven b'choriat akochi v'reishis oni, yeser se'eis v'yeser oz. Se'eis, Rashi says, is kuna, and then the yeser oz is malchus. So why did he not receive the malchus? So the pasuk says because pachas kamayim al tazar ki oliso mishkevei avicha. Oz chilalto yitzu yola. For a different reason. So apparently, if it weren't for the fact that he was Ola Mishkevei Aviv, Bilbo Yitzui Aviv, if it wasn't because of that, he would have gotten it. He would have gotten it. So on the contrary. So you see, even the fact that he was emotionally involved, and he somehow or other, the emotions exercised an influence on him, and he couldn't extricate himself from that emotional grip, but apparently that wouldn't disqualify him for the malchus. That wouldn't disqualify him, but for the malchus for the kuna. But what disqualified him? Ki alisa mishkevei avicha, oz chilalta yitzu yola. So why was that the element? So if he wasn't Roy for Malchus, he should say, he's not Roy for Malchus. He's not Roy for Malchus. Yeah. So it's interesting. So Chazal say that Reuven was not Chata, because the pastor of Hayiv and Yaakov is Shnei Masar. But what did he do? That he was towing Elba on Emo, that he was upset that... He didn't want Bilhah to take the place of Leah. So he had the chutzpah to remove the bed of Bilhah's bed from his father's tent. But it's interesting. But what does it say? Oz chilalta yitzui Allah. What does it mean, Oz chilalta yitzui Allah? So Rashi says, Oz chilalta yitzui Allah. Oz chilalta. Also, Shin Shaola al Yitzui, the Ishchina, Shahoya Dak Alias Ola al Yitzui. So, interesting, Ramban says that Rabbi Sinom was Chalalti Yitzui Ola Shchina, Shadak Alas al Yitzui, Rakom Oma, Rakosa Oma, Bachilo Yitzui Ola, Shahayatzua Hua Machulo. He says, The Ula Yechana also Shin. He says, the pasuk is just using a sue on that. It's using a different term. It's using a mashal, so to speak. It really means the shechina. You know, machal the shechina. Bachal yitzui other she yitzui machol. I'm sorry. Ruichana also shames. In the derech kinoi, he says, and if since we're saying it's the derech kinoi, it's using another name. It's using a nickname. Itochin shegiya ha'ola Yaakov atma. Koloshim and ela al eres yitzui. So Ramban says that really it's a kinoi, not just for the shechina, but it's perhaps a kinoi for Yaakov himself. It means that he was mechalel the shame of Yaakov Avinu. So it's interesting. So the question, of course, is that immediately arises: is this, so why wasn't Yaakov Avinu? Why didn't Yaakov Avinu, these were tzaddikim, so why didn't Yaakov Avinu rebuke him, give him mussar, and then he'll do tshuva, he'll chaz b'tshuva? Yeah, apparently he didn't do that. Apparently he didn't do that, and apparently he just left him, and because of that, he lost everything. But that's an interesting thing. Why he didn't give him mussar. But that really is a Rashi in Dvar, the well-known Rashi in Dvar, where Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was only gave Musa some of Hamisa. So Rashi says that who did he learn from? Mimi Lamad Miyakov, Shlo Ochiach Hasbona Velasoma Hamisa, Omar Ruven Beni, Ani Omalach Neimah Lo Chachticha Kol Hashem Malala. It's Rashi in the beginning of Dvar, Pasuk Gimel. So he says, "Kedesh lo tanichini, v'telech v'tibak be'esav achi." So it's an interesting thing. He's talking about Reuven shiftei kah, and he said that he couldn't do it. He could not give him musa, because of the danger that he'll become antagonized and he'll be holich v'dovek be'esav. Yeah. So what does that mean? It's an interesting thing. What it means is that there's always a very delicate, strange phenomenon. And that is that a person, by his nature, finds it very difficult to judge others that are not on their level, that are on a higher level. Very difficult. And a person by nature will always ascribe to another individual motivations that are motivations which from their own mind appear to be rational. And it's something which is very difficult for a man to escape. And it's a very difficult thing, and it seems that it's a tool that's used by the Hamon Am, and it's a mistake that's even made by great people. An example of it being used by the Hamon Am is, of course, the rebellion of Kerach, that they ascribe to Moshe Rabbeinu egoistic motives. Because they said it's very, very funny that Moshe is the Melech and his brother is the Kohen Gadol. Just so happens that that's the way it works out. But maybe there's something else here. Maybe this isn't just a coincidence. Maybe he has egoistic strivings. I mean, maybe he likes COVID. He's after COVID and his family and. And perhaps there's a simple reason for this. It's not a coincidence. So that taina was very well taken up by Klal Yisrael. And it's always a taina of the Hamon Am in a very base fashion. And it's a very powerful taina. And it's one that always will gain adherence. kind of motivations, they will never accept that that is the case. So they'll always ascribe their own base motivations to the individual. And the Taina is very well taken by people. So that is the example in the gross case. But it's interesting, even great people get caught in that kind of a thing. And an example of that is by Aaron and Miriam. By Aaron and Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu. That the Pasuk in Balosha, in the end of Balosha. So the Pasuk says, Latadabit Mirvarma Moshe, Alodos Isha Kushis Asha Lokach, Ki Isha Kushis Lokach. So Rashi says that they overheard Tzipora when Eldor and Meda was saying the Vua Bamachana. So when Tzipora heard, so she said, O Lunashel Sayan Shalelo, she says, woe unto their wives. And name is Kakum Lunavua, she you portion in a show saying, Kederach Shapirish Baili Rimeni. Because they're going to lose their husbands, they're going to separate from them, just like my husband separated from me. So Rashi says, Mishom Yada Miriam, the Gido, the Aaron. So Miriam and Aaron were really trying to save Tzipora. And that's why, because they felt for Tzipora, because she was such a tzaddikus, so they said, Harakach b'moshe diber Hashem, alo gam bonu diber. So, and we were in Parash from Derech Eretz. So what right does he have to do that? So you see that they assumed that he was acting unjustly and under the influence of emotion and not chachma, and that he was unjustly being parish me ishto because of his position, which did not warrant it. So they accused him of making an error and overestimating his position. So you see, this was even Miriam and Aaron. So and it's interesting. The answer was, the pasuk says he never overestimated himself. Nikol adam ashal panei adama, and says vayam Hashem pisum amosh alaron. And then the pasuk says shimon advari miin viyachem arishem b'mari lo v'svada b'cholam adavarbo. And this is one yisori ados. Lochein avdi moshe b'chol beisin emohel. Peo peo adavarbo. Mar avolo v'chidos. Usmunos arishem yabit. Madu lo yireisum adavar b'avdi v'moshe. So what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says an interesting thing. Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu apparently didn't act in any way that indicated that he's so different. He acted pashut like a regular normal human being, and even his own brother and sister did not know, had no idea of his true level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to them the reason why they were wrong. It's interesting. But the reason why they were wrong was because in an ordinary person, they would have been right. If it were an ordinary person, then they would have had a right to make that assessment. Because no human being is devoid of that possibility. That they can make a mistake with regard to the estimation of the self, and they can overestimate themselves. But there was one exception. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. And why was he an exception? Because his level of nevuah, of omid lefnei Hashem, made it impossible for him to make such an error. So he was the only human being that was devoid of that possibility of making such an error. error of old estimation of himself because of the fact that he was constantly lifnei Hashem, pe'al pe'a davarbo, different kind of an avi, different kind of lifnei Hashem. That lifnei Hashem makes it impossible. An individual that is on that level of lifnei Hashem cannot make a mistake with regard to himself and overestimate himself. Every other human being is possible, but not Moshe Rabbeinu. So, it's interesting. So the Torah itself says that it is possible. It is always a possibility, no matter how great the individual. But nevertheless, it is something a person. It does not mean that every attack against an individual can be justified because of that. It does not mean that every attack against an individual could be justified because of the fact that every individual can succumb to that weakness, you see. Because, for instance, by Adas Karach, they were Rishayim. It had nothing to do with Lochein Ati Moshe. That was simply they were following their own evil emotions. But while it is not possible logically to make a mathematical distinction between the two, because you could say in both cases, yeah, man is always capable of ambition, of overestimation of the self, and of the egoistic motivation. That is true. The Torah tells us that. But nevertheless, there are certain accusations which arise from the base part of man, and there are certain times where even great Nevi'im could make a mistake, but that's a completely different phenomenon, even though you're dealing with a similar element. But that does not make the situations equal. Okay, once when Korach's accusation of Moshe Rabbeinu that he had ambitious intention was simply evil, was simply Rishayim, and it stemmed from his own evil nature. But by Moshe and Aaron, it stemmed from a lack of yediyah with regard to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was an Anav Ma'od, and there was no way that they could know that he was on a different level, so they made a mistake. But the mistake was from a different source, a different kind of a mistake. It was from a different source. It wasn't totally exonerated either, because you see that Miriam was Menash. But it's a different kind of a chait, different kind completely. But nevertheless, even though this possibility is always the only one that it's impossible. The only one for whom it is impossible to have a mistake with regard to the self is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a fact. Because Tel Pei Davar Marvel of Achidus Asmuras Hashem Yadet. That's a different kind of a level of existence, of human existence. For him, it's impossible. But for an ordinary person, it's possible. But nevertheless, if an individual commits an error, the error could be simply attributable to the person's evil, to the fact that the person did not perceive, or was unable, should have perceived, should have known, and the individual didn't. That's a chait. That's a mistake. So by Yaakov Avinu, the chait of Reuven that ultimately did him in was that chait. You see, the chait oschi lauta yitzui ola means, like the Ramban says, it means the Shekhinah, because Yaakov Avinu really was the one whose existence as a human being personified the highest level of Ashura Shekhinah. He was the one that was under Ashgacha, under the highest level of Ashgacha, and Reuven failed to realize this. But it wasn't just the Shekhinah, the Ashgacha, it was a failure, of course, that's what the Ramban says. Ulai, that it's not just the Shechina, not just the idea of the Ashgacha, which, of course, by Reuven doing that, that was a statement that Yaakov Avinu was giving way to his emotions and was being unjust. That chait was the horrible chait that was his undoing. Why? Because he failed to recognize who Yaakov Avinu was, and this was a serious chait. That's what the Ramban says. Ulai, it's a keenly for Yaakov Avinu himself. I mean, he failed to recognize Yaakov Avinu. That was the chait that was his undoing. So it's true. It had the pachas kamayim, the emotional grip that influenced him in general. He could not pull himself away from the emotional grip. But in the first two cases, in the case by Yosef and in the case by Binyamin, it's true, it was a weakness, but it would not have taken away the Malchus Nekona. What took it away? What took it away was when that same flaw reappeared and re-expressed itself in the case of Yitzui Ovid, in the case of Bilhah and Leah, where emotionally he couldn't remove himself from the influence of his emotion towards his mother. But that was the final chait that removed him from kahuna and removed him from malchus. So the question is, of course, why? The question is, okay, we can understand that just because a person is an individual who's under the influence of emotion, not everybody could rise to a completely objective level. I mean, most human beings cannot even approach that level. So they can't even approach the level of a Reuven. So we understand the difference between Shilo Yitzui Aviv. And by the way, that's what Yaakov Avinu meant. That's why he couldn't give him Musar during his lifetime. Because since he really lacked an appreciation of who Yaakov Avinu was, he didn't realize who he was. He didn't realize his greatness. He didn't realize his closeness to the Shechina. And because he didn't realize that, it would become a personal battle. And if it become a personal battle, then Reuven can take off in untoward directions, you see. And there's no way that Yaakov Avinu could have given him Musar. It's an impossibility. Because since in that area, since every human being is subject to emotional influence, so if the person is convinced that's why he's doing it, he's projecting his own weaknesses onto his father, onto Yaakov Avinu, there's no way that Yaakov Avinu could talk him out of it. Just like there was no way that Moshe Rabbeinu could talk Korach out of it. Yishma Moshe v'yipa aponav. So in that taina, it's impossible for the righteous individual to win. He can't. Because the other individual is convinced, since he doesn't have the proper assessment of that individual, so he's convinced that that's the reason why he's doing it, because of a base motivation. And there's no way that the righteous person can disprove it. He can't disprove it. That's the and that's the same case. Although I said that there's a completely different thing with Aaron and Miriam, a completely different level with Nevi'im, the greatest Nevi'im. But nevertheless, you see, even in their situation, they didn't know who Moshe Rabbeinu was, Makir and Moshe Rabbeinu, and they drew the wrong conclusion. And there's no way that anyone can win that battle. So that's why Yaakov Avinu said that he could not possibly do anything about it. He could not give him any Musar, because it stemmed from a lack of an appreciation of who Yaakov Avinu was. And there's no way that he could assert who he is. That's an intrinsic impossibility. But that defect, that he didn't recognize who Yaakov Yaakov Avinu was, he was Oschil is Machal the Ashgacha, the Shechina, and the person of Yaakov Avinu. That caused them to lose everything. Why was that the element that caused them to lose everything? Because you could say, well, look, I mean, if he didn't have the ability, so he doesn't deserve Malchus. So why do you have to wait for a chait that, why is it totally in that kind of chait? Why isn't it totally in the person's abilities? If you want to give out Malchus, so you have to give out Malchus to the one that has the ability of Malchus. Yehuda apparently has the ability, and Reuven didn't have the ability. It doesn't have to be tied to Shilal or Yitzhuyola. Why isn't it tied simply to the way he dealt in the case and the judgment with Yosef? But the answer is, you see, the answer is over here that and I believe I mentioned this before, that the brachos were a twofold phenomenon. On one level, the brachos were brachos to the individuals. But on another level, it was brachos for Klal Yisrael. And it was setting up the Shiftei Kah, which were the entities of Klal Yisrael through the Doros. And all the B'nai Yaakov, you see, are simply that, B'nai Yaakov. And that's why Yaakovina says, Mikov to a Shimo. I believe also that idea emerges from this from the two previous tzukim after a reading. Mikov to a Shimo b'nei Yaakov, a Shimo Yisrael avicha. It's always Vayikra Yaakov al Bonov. Mikov to a Shimo b'nei Yaakov. But interesting is, I'll get back to that in a minute. But the interesting is. And you see, he says, he also gives him Esa Shikras Chem Bachar Seyaman. So, Chazal say, Rashi says, Bikesh Legalos Haketz. That Yaakovina wanted to reveal the future. The Achras Hayom, what is the Achras Hayom? The Ramban says, Achras Hayom is synonymous with the Mas Mashiach, all the time. Achras Hayom is the same thing as Mas Mashiach. So he wanted to reveal how the Mas Mashiach will come about. But the question is that really an intelligent thing to do? That to reveal the Achras Hayom. As a matter of fact, logically, it would seem to be self-defeating. And that's why we don't have any revelation of Achras Hayom. Because the Achras Hayom is dependent on the Bechira of the individuals. Completely contingent on their Bechira. And it's not contingent on events. And anyone that has a curiosity about the Achras Hayom is in a completely different frame. They're in a mystical frame where they're trying to figure out what's going to happen as if the Bechira has nothing to do with it. And that's why Chazal say that Tipachuchum shall machash ve'akeitz, because they're on a mystical trend, and that doesn't bring a person to any kind of level. On the contrary, it takes a person away from concentrating on what he was created to do, which is to exercise his Bechira properly. And if there were certain events that were to take place and we knew them in advance, that would completely disrupt the whole way that the case would come out, because then people would act on the events, and they wouldn't act on the good. They wouldn't be making decisions based upon the mitzvahs of the Torah and the Bechira, and they'd be making decisions based on events like mystics, and then they would never work. So in actuality, a revelation of the case is a tarti de sasri, is an intrinsic impossibility. You can't reveal the case. Because if you did, that would not be the case. Because then people would act totally differently, and insofar as exercising their Bechira, that would become nil, and they would simply look for events. But the case is not based on that. The case is based on the exercise of Bechira. And that's why it's totally in Shuvah, like the Ramban says, and the Rambam, and the Psukim, and the end of Dvarim. So the Shafta Ad Hashem Lekecha. So it's dependent on Shuvah. It's dependent on Manim embracing the good through his Bechira, and through his Yediyah, and through his Chachma. Not dependent on an account of a cryptic event. So on the contrary, if the cates were revealed, that could not be the case. It started a sasri. So what Ba'achas Yemen. So apparently that wasn't something that we would receive. Apparently that was something that Yaakov wanted to share with the Shiftei Kolon privately. That was a different thing. And he cuffed to Rishimu b'nei Yaakov, Rishimu Yisrael Avichem, then he switched. But the case, apparently that that was a mistake. That they weren't roy to receive the ideas of the Cates. They weren't roy. But that was a personal thing. So the brachas really were on two levels. Was it personal? It was a situation where there was a personal get together between Yaakov and Banav on a personal level, and also on the level of the future for Klal Yisrael. But on the level of the future for Klal Yisrael, the essence resided in the fact that it was B'nai Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu. B'nai Yisrael, that's the identity of Klal Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba Avos, is the one that everything rests upon. That's the identity of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. So since Reuven failed in his recognition of his father, in the recognition of who Yaakov was, he could not function anymore for the future to take over institutions that were going to exist in Klal Yisrael forever, and that the ideas of those institutions have to be tied to Yaakov Avinu and to perfection. But Oz Chilalta Yitzui, that's what Yaakov Avinu told Reuven. That the fact that you made those mistakes, that's something else. That's a personal thing. That was a completely personal thing. Which means that, yeah, it's true, if you look through the way Reuven acted, then you see that there was an emotional influence in his decision-making. But that still wouldn't console him, because that's a personal thing. So personally, if you ask personally who of the two is more roy for Malchus, yeah, you would be more roy. But that's in terms of the individual Bonin, Reuven and Yehuda himself as persons. But in terms of setting up the Shiftei Kah and which idea should prevail among the people forever, is it Yehuda or is it the person of Reuven? So it would have been Reuven. That's what he says, Bechariata. What does Bechariata mean? You were the one that really are closest tied to the idea of Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Reuven Bechor Yisrael. So who is the one that should be tied eternally to that idea of Yaakov Avinu? Reuven's the one. But the reason why that can't be is because Pachas Kamayim Al Tazar. Because you failed to recognize who Yaakov Avinu was. He failed to recognize his father. So Yaakov Avinu says, because he didn't recognize me, and Shiftei Kah have to be tied to the idea of Yaakov Avinu, so that's why you can't. That's why you lost. For future generations, you can't be tied to Malchus and you can't be tied to the Gona. That was the posel. The posel was because it's not anymore the Yaakov Avinu. But it's an interesting thing. So you see that an individual may have a weakness, and every individual has weaknesses. But the weakness alone would not have been a posel. Would not have been a posel. And even though it's a character flaw, it's a flaw, yeah, everybody else was. But the posel was where that flaw drew him to an avera, which caused a permanent damage. And the damage was one, really what Yaakov Avinu was saying was, Reuven Bechoriata, Kochi Voracious Oni, Yeser Seis, the Yeser Oz. What does it mean you would have been roy to be the Bchor? It meant it would have been better that way. It would have been better for Klal Yisrael if Reuven walked away with Malchus and Gona. Why? Because since he was the Bchor, Kochi Voracious Oni, that would reflect the Avos even more. Yaakov Avinu, of course, Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram, the Avos, would have reflected the more, then it would reflect the idea of the Avos even more than Yehuda. So really what Reuven did by this chait, by not really understanding who his father was, that chait was a chait that affected Klal Yisrael forever. It was a damage that could not be undone, basically. That you were really the one that was roi for the malchus, and you were roi for kahuna, and that would have been a different malchus, a better malchus, and a better kahuna, and it would have been a better reflection of Yaakov Vino, and of course a better reflection of Yaakov Vino means a better reflection of Yitzchak and Avram Avino. The Avram is b'choch osman, elokei Avram, elokei Yitzchak, elokei Yaakov. The whole concept of the Avos and the Kei Avram, that concept would have been enhanced to the greatest degree, but because of the chait, it was permanently lost. That's basically what Yaakov Vino said. So there's a big difference between sometimes a person commits a personal chait. Personal chait, okay, is one thing. But sometimes the personal chait is one which becomes involved in a loss for Doros. In the case of Reuven, there was a loss for all of Klal Yisrael. In the case of a normal individual, also that's true many times. A chait could be a personal chait, sometimes a chait could affect Doros. So, and once it's done, that's it. It's too late. So the tshuva is very great on a personal level, but in certain cases it's not possible. In this case, it was not possible because Yaakov Avinu in no way could have done this. It's a situation where he was caught. That in that situation, there's no way to act. There is only one remedy. The only remedy is lifnei misa, because lifnei misa. Not everybody lifnei misa. A fool lifnei misa is the same fool. No difference. They're the same nonsense that he said all his life. But a chacham lifnei misa is different. A chacham lifnei misa loses all trade. The moment before he leaves this world, if he is a true chacham, that's another state in which there are no traces of ambition. You see? So there's no trace of personal gain. He doesn't have that. That element is gone because he sees his death and he sees he's leaving this world and he abandons. He loses all contact, all emotional contact with this existence. So, ain't no chelik le'olam, like the pasuk says. B'chol Hashem nasa tachas Hashemesh. He has no chelik in anything. So, a chacham, a true chacham, realizes the state. And that much Reuven knew, that his father before Misa doesn't have any personal type of gain that would influence him. So he had no choice. You see, he had no choice but to give him the Musa. That's what Rashi says. Moshe ben mi lamad, mi Yaakov ben lamad. That when it comes to certain things, even the greatest tzaddik is in a position where he's helpless, can't do anything about it. And where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn that? From Yaakov Vino. That the only way is lifnei misa. Lifnei misa, he's not going to be accused of having personal motivation. So that's why Yaakov Vino waited. So insofar as tshuva is concerned, there's no doubt that Reuven did tshuva. No doubt. On a personal level, he did tshuva. That's the shifte kol, what's a deacon gemara. So he definitely did tshuva. But it was too late. That was for the personal. For the lifnei misa of Yaakov Vino, as we said, was on two levels. And one level was on the personal level. Another level was on the Doros level. On the personal level, Reuven was able to do tshuva. But for Doros, he could no more be the individual that reflects Kahuna and Malchus because of his chait. That was a great flaw, and that flaw removed him from those two institutions which the Dori Doros have to reflect Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak, and the Lekei Avram, Lekei Yitzchak, the Lekei Yaakov. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Why is it that the Bechor would be a better leader for the Shiftei Kaf? Why wouldn't for the Shiftei
Kaf? No. The Bechor, it says, Kochi Vereshis only. It's a personal thing. It means, Kochi Vereshis only means who is the one that's closest of all the Shiftei Kaf to Yaakov Avinu because of the idea of Bechor. Because of the idea of Kochi Vereshis, it means that's his first. So people associate the first with the closest. And that's why that would stand as a model for the closest model possible to Yaakov Avinu. That would have been eternally a far better contact, a far better relationship, better route to Yaakov Avinu, which is the whole purpose of the connection to the Avos. Bechor is a big thing. You see, Bechor takes Pishnayim. A Bechor is something that you can't deny. It's for the function of the Bechorah. It would be the greatest element to connect, to relate to Shiftei Kaf to the high and the highest levels, to Yaakov Avinu and to the others, to Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak. That would be the best situation for Klal Yisrael. But Reuven, because of his chait, ruined it. It was ruined. Lost. But a person is usually pretty naive about chait. They figure, the chait, the tshuva, undo it. Certain things can't be undone. Certain things are permanent damage. And that was a permanent damage to Klal Yisrael, what Reuven did. Unfortunate. There was no way to correct it. There was no way to correct it. Personally, the tshuva, no question about it. Tzaddikim gemurim, 100%, there's no doubt that they all did tshuva on anything and any chait that Yaakov Avinu told. But the setting up of Klal Yisrael and the identification to the Avos, that cannot be changed. That's dependent on a different thing than the tshuva of the Yachid.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Yeah, in light of the fact that Reuven's Aver was monumental to the makeup of Klal Yisrael, can we elaborate on that Rashi over there that says that the story with why he moved to bed and what his mistake was?
Go ahead, which Rashi?
The Rashi that says that my mother was a tzara to Rachel, and now she has to be a tzara to the Shivcha.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that's why he moved to bed, because for a cover of his mother.
Right, I know that. So, right, I mean.
So I'm saying, can you elaborate on that mistake that he made?
It has nothing to do with my share.
Okay.
Rabbi?
Different thing. Yes, go ahead.
So when Chazal say that teaches that Reuven was Lachata?
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
No, Reuven Lachata means that it doesn't mean literally that he had that he had intercourse with Bilhah. That's what Chazal said. Reuven Lachata means Lachata. Doesn't mean there was no chait. No chait, so why did he lose everything? That's impossible. And means Lachata means he didn't do a Maisa Avera actually physically. But it says, Vayishkav is built up in legesh of it. So Reuven Lachata means that he didn't actually do it physically. But the Torah is Mailal of Ke'ilu. It's as if he had done that. It's as bad as if he would have done it.
So, Rebbe, was Yehuda chosen because he was because of the qualities that he showed, or because he was the next oldest who was the most roi?
No, the Pasuk says, to be tariff the Neil Lisa, the qualities. Tariff the Neil Lisa. Pasuk says. But Reuven would have been the natural. That would have been the natural amplified by personality. That's the most powerful.
So, Rebbe.
Yes.
Based on our explanation for Yehuda,
Can we explain the pasuk where it says Ki achinu v'sareinu? It seems there was some kind of emotional appeal to the brothers.
No, yeah, Ki achinu v'sareinu is another thing. That what he was saying was that the pasuk says mebesorcha al tesale. That's another thing. In other words, he's saying that there's two things here. First of all, the tzelem elokim, an objective, and secondly, there's a separate chiyuv on every individual to have he has a special responsibility to his own basar, his own share basar. Achinu v'sareinu. That's what it means. He's saying two things. He added that too. He added that element too. One is tzelem elokim, and one is that man is obligated to safeguard his own basar, his own share basar. So he added that also. So he said there'll be two violations there. First of all, it's the tzelem elokim, destroying the tzelem elokim, which a person has no right to do, ever. And you need a makir. I mean, the fact that Bezin can do it is only because of a makir. But Bezin, and really, there's an absolute issa. As a matter of fact, you know, I mean, going back to the pasuk over there, The pasuk says, what does it mean? So Rashi says, chay is not chay for anything. Rashi says it means that because by dora mabul hufkuru lemachol chayas ros lishlot b'ayim shenem anim shol kebeimus nizmo l'ficha chutzruch lahazi aleinus achayas. So the pasuk is telling you that the nefesh ha'odom is different than the nefesh ha'behemah, and it is implanted in the bria, that God changed the bria from the way it was before, that before the chayas was sholtos b'hem. But then he changed that, so that the chayah is afraid of man. So that's part of that's because the tzelem elokim is differentiated even in the natural world law system. Is differentiated. So the tzelem elokim is protected, and the tzelem elokim is differentiated, and there's never an individual never has a right to take away, to destroy the tzelem elokim. And the only way it can be done is if the Torah is there's a tivui Hashem, which is the makir of a bezin. But in general, there's absolutely no right. So, and then he said also, and besides, there is a chiyuv, since that's usher, now there's a chiyuv of, there's also another violation of a chiyuv of sereno. That's mepsor chal tasoin. That will be a double violation. That if you would destroy him, you'd be violating not just the tzelem elokim, but the tzelem elokim insofar as you have a chiyuv to support the individual that's related to you as a share basa. Apparently, what he was saying was that halacha of mepsocha al tesalein is a halacha in the tzelem elokim as well. That the tzelem elokim that is related to you, it's a greater violation. In other words, if a person would destroy a tzelem elokim that's not related to him, that would not be as great a violation as destroying a tzelem elokim that's related to him. That the fact that it's related to him places him in a separate position of responsibility. In a separate position of responsibility vis-a-vis that tzelem elokim. That's what he was saying. So the argument was that even if he is strange, that's one thing. But he's saying now that I've shown you that we have no right to be shofich dam, to take away tzelem elokim. Now there's a further thing that there's a special responsibility for those that are closely related to God, the tzelem elokim. And that's a special responsibility. And if a person is in violation of that, he's in a double violation. That's basically what he was saying. That to destroy him would be to be a not just destruction of a nefesh adam, but a nefesh adam that was placed in your responsibility by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a double violation. Ki achinu v'sareinu. That's what he was saying. That's what.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
By Yehuda, when his decision showed his got on the Malchus, what about the next parsha where it says, Vayyehuda Mesechav, where Rashi says he was Yerid Gdula by the brothers?
Yeah.
Was that a criticism of him by the brothers, or is that lacking in his...
No, it doesn't say, you know, this is, I mean, Yehadis, you have to realize, Yehadis is not what people are looking for, the perfect person and the not perfect. You know, in Yehadis, it's all ideas. In one respect, he exhibited Malchus. That's Miterev Ben Yalisa. But was there any defect in him? Yeah, there was a defect. I mean, the truth of the matter is that he should have made a right judgment. I mean, it doesn't exonerate him from that. So things are not simple. It's not the good guy and the bad guy, like people always try to think that way. But the Torah is not made for that. The Torah is a deep sefer of chachma, and things aren't that simple. Was he completely? That he exhibited malchus, and that quality in that act, but it doesn't mean he was completely right. Yeah, you're right. Vayeru the meisachov. So he really should have saved him. It's correct.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
If Reuven did tshuva, and we recognize that fact that he did tshuva, so what exactly was lacking vis-a-vis the Am?
No, his life. You can't rewrite your life. The events in your life, in terms of identifying with Reuven, it's too late. That goes by fact. People don't identify. Did you in your room? Very nice, but it doesn't affect the world. In terms of an individual, what he did was abominable, and you can't that idea, the fact that he did that, he can't serve as a gavra to reflect the Bechor Yaakov anymore. That's gone. That's it. He ruined it.
But you're saying that's just because the a person's perception is flawed, basically.
No, not flawed. I mean, it's human perception. Only human beings. You can't. Only God knows man. But we know actions and deeds. You can say that's the world we live in. It's a reality.
But we're saying that we have the Torah telling us that he did tshuva.
Torah doesn't say he did tshuva. I'm just telling you, there's no question he did tshuva. It doesn't mention that. It doesn't mention everything. But the Torah would just say that he did tshuva, that everybody did tshuva, and that's no good. You have to have, you live a lifetime, a person who lives a life, you can't replace a lifetime. You can't. That's what I mentioned. In other words, like the Gemara says, that Rebbe Bocho, when he saw that guy throw himself into the fire with Chanina ben Trajan, so Bocho says, Yesh kono olomo basho achas. So a person, he cried because he did tshuva, so he was kono olomo. But what kind of an olam haba did he have? 1 hour. His whole life was wasted. He can't undo a life. Tshuva can't make up for a lifetime of folly. It's just not possible. Tshuva can remove the individual and place his soul in a certain position where the avera is, insofar as the soul is concerned, never happened. But it can't be constructive in retrospect. That the time of life is gone, and Reuven's life did not reflect the perfection, and that's it, and it's gone. You can't do anything about that. There's no such thing as that's what I'm saying. Everybody wants to think that you could always undo everything and we could always start over again. You can't. If a person does tshuva at the end of his life on Bittul Torah, but he didn't learn anything, he's not going to be a big Talmid Chacham when he comes to Olam Haba. I mean, you can't. The tshuva just can't redo your life. So the deeds, he may have done tshuva on it, but the constructive action was violated. I mean, you can't. That's it. I mean, you can't reflect anymore. That's damage. You can't reflect anymore the Yaakov Avinu. And even if the Torah would say you did tshuva, that doesn't do anything. That's not the way it works. You can't. A tshuva cannot undo a life. That tshuva can't do. A person has shivim shana, and he does shivim shana where he can build his soul. Doing tshuva is not going to make up for the time you missed. I mean, it's gone. That's it. You can't undo a life. You can't change his. When a person lives this life, he lives a double life. He lives it from himself, and also he lives it klapei shamayim. I mean, mekadesh shem shamayim with his deeds and the things that he does. I mean, that it can't be undone. I mean, you can't do that. It's just not possible. Torah just put in a pasuk with Yehuda. That's not going to do anything. Everybody that Yehuda, everybody tzaddikim, anybody can do me anything. You can't undo a life. That's a myth. It's a wishful myth. But it's just that's all it is. You can't do it. Yehuda can do unbelievable things, but it can't do that. It can't remake a life. A person writes his life, writes his own sefer, and writes his life. And that is written. Tshuva is very nice. And tshuva is, won't be nanash, and it changes his soul towards the good, and it's unbelievable. But we can't rewrite his life.
Rebbe, that's the Christian concept, that if you accept Yashki 1 second before you die, everything's forgiven.
I'm stupid. It is stupid.
That's what I'm saying. That's stupid.
I know. That's not even that. That is too stupid to even know about.
Rebbe?
Okay, what? I'm not talking about it.
Can we say why Yosef wasn't zochet to melucha?
why you deny Yosef? That's a very good question. I'm not going to answer that right away. That's even because Yosef really was Malchus. I mean, he was really the, that's true. I may have mentioned last time, something back in my mind. I may have mentioned last time, but I don't recall right now. But now that's a good question, but not for Regalata. No, I'm just saying he executed. He really, right. He functioned as Malchus. That's an interesting thing. Function is Malchus Mitzrayim, but not Malchus. It didn't reflect Malchus in Israel. It's interesting. It's a good question. It's a very good question. One that deserves some serious thought. But, any other questions? Yes. That's an important idea. I mean, you can't, that's a tzasiyat. That to me is really a tzasiyat tzahara. That the tzahara is a bag full of eitzes. That's one of them. But don't worry. I mean, you can always do tshuva. You can't do tshuva. Maybe it was a tshuva, but you can't change, you can't redo your life. I mean, that's just not possible. You can't redo it insofar as klapei acherim, insofar as what you reflected of Kiddush Hashem, and you can't redo it in terms of the time that was wasted and that what you could have accomplished. I mean, look at Reuven. He, because of that, he was pogeya in terms of Klal Yisrael olam vod. That's it. It would have been better. What does it mean? It says the pasuk says, "Tochi yeser seis the yeser oz." What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Roi ha'yisa liyos yeser lachacha." Because Roi ha'yisa, you were the one. He was lamenting. Yaakovina was lamenting. It's unfortunate. But that's the way it is. Klal Yisrael now doesn't have the opportunity. He would have had the other way. But that's the way it is. God gave man bechira, and man makes a choice. And certain things he could change, but certain things is like the way Shlomo Aleph says. I mean, that's it. Move us loyuchal liskon. Chesun liyuchal manas. It's too late. Can't do anything about it. It's gone.
Any other questions? Okay, Rebbe.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day. Hey, so we'll start?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to continue from what we did last week with the brachos. Okay?
Yep. It's all ready to go.
Okay. All right. I was speaking to Danny on the... after last week with the, he asked me a good question, a couple of good questions that were raised last week. So I want to take them up. One question was, how come Shimon and Levi, I mean, how come Levi got off easy? Because they also are chotem. And yet, I mean, Shevet Levi emerges as the prime Shevet, as opposed to Reuven, who lost everything. So what I wanted to say to answer that question was, that it depends on the nature of the chait. That Reuven's chait was against Yaakov, because he didn't appreciate who Yaakov Vina was. And that was a fatal error. Because the whole concept of the Shvatim is to tie the Shvatim to the Avos. And because tie the Shvatim to the Avos. And that's why you see really that Yosef took the Bechorah. Because that's what was the whole bracha of Yosef? The whole bracha of Yosef was that that the Yaakovina said, Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruven and Shimon will yield thee. So he says. So the bracha was that Yosef got two shvatim in Eretz Yisrael, two chalakim. He got the bechorah, and why? Because what's the advantage of the two shvatim? So machlekes Ramban and Rashi. Rashi, strange Rashi. Rashi says it's just in shame alone, because the Eretz Yisrael was nechalka, was nechalka l'gugulosum, according to the minyan. Ramban doesn't want to tolerate that. It brings Raya and Gemaras that was really he really got more in the Arusha Saaretz. He says, according to Rashi, it's just a matter of shame. So what's the advantage of just having another name if they're not going to get anything real in the Arusha Saaretz? But the answer, according to Rashi, is that the shame alone has a value, because it means that there are two shemos. He had two shemos in Chalukas Oretz, and the Oretz is Neschalka L'Shvatim, because it's Eretz Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. It's the Eretz of the Avos. So according to Rashi, even in shame alone, was a bracha and was an advantage. That means that he has two entities that unite him, unify him to the Avos, as opposed to the other brothers. Ramban learns it's mamash, but even according to Rashi, because Ramban is in Rashi, if it's shame alone, so what's the advantage? But shame alone is an advantage, because that's the tie. The whole concept of Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Avos. And Yosef received two chalakim, which means two entities that tied his banim to the Avos. And that's really the pasuk. The pasuk says that. So the bracha was that the Karvem Shmi, the Shem Avosai, that's the bracha. That the shame of Yaakov Avinu should be tied to the land, and shame Avosai Avram V'Yitzchak. So Yosef received two entities that tied him to Yaakov Avinu, to the Avos. That was really the bracha. So the chet of Reuven was that because it was chote against his father, so it lacked in the connection. So that's why his chait was very serious, and he lost the connection, like we mentioned last week. But Shimon V'Levi was a different chait. As a matter of fact, the Shimon V'Levi, if you look into the chait of Shimon V'Levi, their chait was really, it was a chait, but it was really because of Yaakov. If you take a look at the psukim, and the psukim make that very clear, that Pasuk says, when it says V'Yaakov Shomra ki Tine es Dina Bito V'Yishlach Lamadalhe Uvonov Hayu Mikneo Basoda V'Hechrish Yaakov Ad Boam. And then the Pasuk says V'Nei Yaakov Boam Min Asoda Kishomam B'Nei Yaakov Heard V'Yis Atzuan Nashim V'Yichalam Od Why Kinevola Osa B'Yisrael Lishka V'Es Bas Yaakov V'Chein Lo Ye'asa. So they really protected the kavod of Yaakov Avinu. And it says further, it says, Yevayana b'nei Yaakov es Shem v'eschomar b'mirma v'yedaberu. And then the pasuk says that, V'yi v'yom ha'shnishi b'yosom k'avim v'yikchu shnei v'nei Yaakov Shimon v'levi achei dino ish harbo v'yavo alir betach v'yagu kol zocha. B'nei Yaakov bo'o ala halolim, v'yavozu o'ir ashetimu achozom. So it was really all for the kavod of Yaakov Avinu. So it's true that they were a chotim, but the chait, in the chait, on the contrary, in the chait was really a mesiras nefesh for the kavod of Yaakov Avinu. Interesting is when the pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu said, So then they answer, they responded, Vayomru, Hachazona Yasas Achosenu. So interesting is what was their response. If you take a look at Tirgum Yonasan Ben Aziel, he says, Anyon Shimon Valevi. Shimon Valevi answered, Lo yo'i lemihavi misamar b'chinishtehon di Yisrael. It's not proper that it should be said in Knesset Yisrael, Harlo'in se'ivu levesulto ufalche tzalmen tonifo levrate di Yaakov. That Arelim contaminated our sister, the Besula, Ufalche Tzalmin and Ovde Avarazora Tonifu Livrate de Yaakov, that they contaminated the daughter of Yaakov. Elohein, but Kedein Yo'el Mehave Misama. This is what should be said. Arloin is Ketilu. The Arelim were killed, begin Besulta, because of the Besula. Ufalche Tzalmin and those who served idols, begin Vrate de Yaakov, because of the daughter of Yaakov. Lo Yehove Shechem b'chamor, melaglag b'miwei, and Shechem b'chamor should not be melaglag, scorn in his words, alana on us. Uchi'iso meta'ayo nafkas bro, and like a woman that's a zona, nafkas bro is zona, meta'ayo is also means zona. Deles lo tevoa, yeah, that has no one to protect her. Yave Gas Achsan, he should do to our sister. In law of Dono Yas Piskomohodain, such a thing cannot take place. So you see the chait of Shimon Halevi, while it was a chait, and the Ramban explains what the chait was, why it was a chait, but the chait nevertheless was really in order to protect the covenant of Yaakov Avinu. So that's why, on the contrary, that's why the onesh was not an onesh, which took them away from, like Reuven, which took them away from his chelek. On the contrary, it was a chet, it was the wrong thing to do, but it was a different kind of a chet. So that's why they were made into melamde rashes, melamde tinokos, or apom kios, vavrasom kikoshasa. They were put in the migdosh. And over there, they protected the Kavar Hashchina in the Migdash. They were in a position to anyone that defiles the Migdash, they were in a position to protect the Migdash and to take the appropriate measures. So, for instance, the halacha of Kanoi and Pogimbo. The Kohen that's improper is Pirchei Kuna Potsunas Mocha. So they were in a position to protect the Mikdash. So that's why even though they're over Avera, but it was a different kind of Avera. Interesting is Ramban. Ramban says on when Yaakov Avinu said about them, he said that Kwe Chomos Mechera Sayan. So Rashi says that Umnezu Shel Ritzicha, at the end of the Ritzicha, it's Chomos Ubiyatchem, Ibikas Esav Yisru. It wasn't proper to utilize, for the world, to utilize Ritzicha, the measures of Ritzicha. Ramban says, interesting, Ramban says, Vanochem Beinai Sheomer, in his first Ramban says that, he says, Shimon Levi Achim, Yoma Shehem Bale Achva, that they're people of Bale Achva, of loyalty. Because they became very very upset, emotionally upset about their sister. So he's melamed tzchus on them. It's because of the kino, because of the achva, because of the loyalty to the Bnei Yaakov. They did this. My osu masha osu. Lo masha ein ruim lo anish gadol. V'lo achet roi li mochel ki hu chomos. Anachon Beinai says that Vaparashti, he says, Vaparashti ki Yaakov katzaf al shem v'levi b'harga man she'yir. Vavosha asu chomas. Ki hem lo chotu lo hem klal, hu bo b'bris v'nimulu. Because Yaakov inu held that they really, they came into the bris and they became, and against the brothers, they didn't sin. V'ula yeshuva al Hashem. He says, and maybe they would have done tshuva, the whole city. V'yiyu kulom b'chlal anshe beis Avram. Amazing Ramban. And they all could have been a part of the Anshe Beis Avram. I mean, a Nefesh Hashem also. Okay, so he says, V'ot Chalo, Shelo Yomru Ki Ba'atzoso Nasa Adava. They shouldn't say that it really was the Eitz of Yaakov Vinu. V'yachul Hashem, Sheyasa Anovi Chomos V'shod. V'zeh Tam B'sodom Al Tavo Nafshi. It's not Sheyir B'sodom B'avonom B'mirma. Okay, that's what he meant, that it shouldn't go back to, people shouldn't say it, this was really Yaakov Vinu's idea. Okay, so interesting Ramban. So Ramban says that really Yaakov Vinu held that maybe they'd be chos b'tshuva. And they'll all become part of the Anshei Beis Avram. So it was a different kind of a chait. So it wasn't like the chait of Reuven. It wasn't a chait against Yaakov. It was a chait. Ein somchan al hanes. It was a chait that they didn't look into the situation properly, and maybe they could have all joined Klal Yisrael, and it would have been a greater entity. So that was the chait. But it was a different kind of a chait. It was a chait because of Yaakov Avinu. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, but the Rambam at the end of Perek Aleph in Avodah Zarah, he says, in fact, Yaakov himself, he was Mineo Levi to be the Rosh.
Mineo Levi.
Yeah, to be the Rosh Yeshiva.
To be the Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah.
Right. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah.
That's the reason why Levi was different. That's why Levi was different. But all the psukim are all Mora, that they did it because of the kavod of Yaakov. That's a different, it's a chait, wrong, but a totally different kind of a chait. Not like the chait of Reuven. Reuven was Pogea in the cover of his father, of Yaakov, you know, so that's why he wasn't. The other question that was raised is that why didn't Yosef get Malucha? That's a good question. Why didn't Yosef get Malchus? Why Yehuda? As a matter of fact, if you look in the Tirgum Unkelus seems to give Malchus to Yosef. Because he says, "Bein paras Yosef, bein paras aleihem." So first he mentions train shifting yifkin mebenoli, yikablen chuko vachsanta. So Ramban quotes that to support his position that they get a greater chelak and Yerusha in the arts. But that's the first thing. But then he says like this. He goes through the history by Maruv Robo Istumubalachitzim, Latesha of the Asun Kashto, and by Yafozu Zroa Yadov. So he says, Tirgamukla says that, Bechen Yisroma Dahav al Dra'oi, V'achasin Malchusa, Uskeith. So he, Yashin Malchus, Yashin Malchus, Uskeith, and he became powerful. Do havas leimin kodom kel takifa di Yaakov. To be memory zon avon uvnin zara di Yisrael. That the one who the Ashkacha supports, the avos and the bottom of Yisrael, of Yaakov Vino. So it would seem from Tigger Monkelis that he did get Malchus, which would seem at first sight to be a contradiction to Yehuda. But, because by Yehuda is also Malchus. But interesting is, let's take a look at the Yehuda and in comparison to Yosef. And I think an interesting thing emerges. In Yehuda, the bracha is Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. Yodcha ba'oref levecha, yishtachbu lecha b'nei avicha. It means that they'll recognize Yehuda. That the Achim will recognize Yehuda. Actually, you find that is true. That in Yehuda himself, personally in his lifetime, you see that they did recognize him as a leader. What's the proof? The proof is in Vayishlach. I'm sorry, in Vayeshev, where Vayibo Isai, in Revi, in Vayeshev, Vayibo Isai, Vayered Yehuda Me'esechov. So Yehuda went down, was lowered in position from his brothers. So Rashi says, Lama nismucha parsha zulakan, v'itzik b'parshasa shal Yosef, l'lamei che'horidu echov migdulaso, that they reduced him, they removed him from his gedula. Kishero b'tzoras avihem, when they saw the tzor of their father, Amru, anto amata l'macho, you said to sell him. Yilo amata l'ashiva yinu shaman lach. So, yeah, it was later, it was hindsight, but the fact is that you see that he had the gedula, and he was the leader, and they respected him as a leader, and later they blamed him, because later when they saw the tzar of the father, so they saw it was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that. That this is destroying the Beis Yaakov. So they said they blamed Yehuda. They blamed it on Yehuda. They said, you were the leader, we turned to you. And you let us down as a leader. So you see, that's ato yaducha achecha, means that they recognize his leadership. But interesting is the Tirgum. The Tirgum says by Yehuda that why did they recognize, what does it mean they'll recognize Yehuda? Why did they recognize him? What kind of a power did he have that they should recognize him? Or that they will recognize him in the future? So the Tirgum says like this. The Tirgum says, yeah. Tirgum says, Yehuda ato desa. Ato desa. You will recognize. See, the word yaducha doesn't mean just to praise, but it means genuine recognition. That's kind of a moda. Moda means that he recognizes the reality. Moda manachnu loch doesn't mean simply we praise God. It means we're modim, that we recognize God. But like Rashi says in Sukkah, modim lo kofrim. So the Tirgum Yonason ben Ezio says very interesting. He says, Yehuda ant odesa. You they'll recognize. Why? Al uvdo de somar. Because of the Maisa with Tamar. Begin Cain, because of that, Loch Yehudu Nachach. The Yiski, so the interesting thing, says, the Yiskerun Yehudoyin al Shemach. And they'll be called Jews because of, with your name. Al Cain Yehudim, my present. Yehudim. it's from Shevet Yehuda. So Yehuda became the name for all of the Jews. The word Jew is really short for Judaic. It's the first vowel, and that's from the bracha of Yaakov Vino. Yehuda, that's what Yonos Menazil says. The Yiskun Yudoyin al Shemach. They will be called Jews based on your name, on Yehuda. So interesting, but the Tirgum Yonason ben Ezio gives the reason. He says the reason is because of Tamar. It's an amazing thing. Because of Tamar. What does it mean the reason is because of Tamar? I mean, Tamar was a downfall. Why was it a mistake? It was a design. But it's an interesting thing. See, it's an interesting phenomenon. And you see it in today's political world as well, that when a person who is a leader fails, so most leaders, if they're caught in something, so what they try to do is to cover up, because they realize that if it gets out, so they lose their whole face, their whole political fame is lost, and then the leadership goes with it. Usually, if you follow, in the political world, usually the politician always makes the same mistake, that he keeps on admitting in a retreating mistreating, and in the end, he loses. And on the contrary, if many times the politician himself realizes that had he initially come clean, he would have been much better off. But that's hindsight. But the initial attempt is usually to cover up. And over here, the Torah tells you just the opposite. Another, so Tegem Yonason says that what was Yehuda's strength? His strength was, and why do the brothers respect him? Because he admitted his flaw. So why is that so? That sometimes the admission of the flaw leads to, and many times politicians are right, that if he'd admit right away, would be destroyed. Could be. But usually it works out for the worst. But unless they could succeed in the cover-up. But here the Torah tells you an interesting thing, that on the contrary, that because of the admission, he gained his strength because of the admission. Interesting is the way the Torah describes it. It really opens up the reason as to when the politician would succeed and when he would fail. It's basically in the psukim. In the case of Yehuda. So what happened? So it was the Maisa with Tamar, and he lived with her. He thought she was his own, but Yachshavel was Zona. So he lived with her, and he gave her three things that he gave her as an Eravon, as a guarantee. So we get Chosomcho of Silecho, Omatcho Shabidecha. So he gave her these three things. And the tabas and the simla and the mata, and then he couldn't find her. And he said ayeg desha, and he says they couldn't find her. So Yehuda says tikachon penil avuz. So this will be a big embarrassment. Ramban explains that he was really a melech, and that when he left his brother, so he became a melech in that area. So then Tamar was waiting for Shelah, and then she became pregnant. So Yehuda said, "Hotziyu v'sisaref." Why? So the Ramban says, because it was a pegiah in the covet of the malchus. So she was pegiah in his covet, in the covet of the malchus of Yehuda. So then it says, "Himutzei si shochol chamia lema leisha sher elu lo anochi hara, batoma haken olamiach hasemes atzum amata ela." So the pasuk says, "Vayakir Yehuda." He recognized it. Vayomer. He said, "Tzodkami mani." So interesting is Ramban says tzotkan many means that plain shot is that she's more righteous than me. I'm the chote. Ramban says that's the plain shot. He says tzadikim tov meni. Although tzadik atom meni, ki ata gemalasni tova vani gemalticha ra. Tzotka b'maseh yosem meni. She's much better than me. But Tirgum Unkelus says differently. Tingum Unkelus says, Va'amar, v'ishtemoda Yehuda va'amar zako'o. Zako'o means that she's innocent. Mini ma'adja, that the pregnancy's from me. And then he says, ki alkein lo nesati o l'sheva v'lein. So, like Tingum Yonason says, that va'ake Yehuda va'amar zachyahi. Toma mini is a boris. Vraskola naflas mishmaya va'amaras the min kodamai have a pisgama the ishtezovu tarveon mendinin. Va'ama begindaloi the hafta l'sheila bri ira yasi kedon. Below oisef to the lamed of the mishkava. So it says that begindaloi hafta l'sheila bri ira yasi kedon. He says, why did this happen to me? He said, because I didn't give it to Sheila. So, according to Tikkun Unkelus, tzadka and mimeni are two different things. Tzadka means zakah. she's innocent. And mimeni means mini is a boris. Mini ma'adja. So the Ramban, but the Lashon HaMikra really is a little bit unusual, because it should have said Vayomar Tzadka, she's innocent, and then he could have said Umimeni, or he didn't have to say it. But Tzadka Mimeni is placing those two words grammatically in a way that at first sight doesn't lend itself to the proper linguistic expression. But really, in that expression lies an idea, you see. The truth of the matter is that Yehuda was ashamed, and he didn't want anybody to know that he lived with this honor. And when she was, he mutzeis, so when she was brought out to be killed, it was dinei nefashis. So once she, of course, didn't openly do anything. Chazal say that she was ready to go to her death if Yehuda wouldn't acknowledge that these things were from him. But Yehuda, all he had to do as a leader, and all any ordinary leader would have done, would have just said, Tzadka. That's it. She's innocent. Stop. Don't kill her. And why? He could give a lot of reasons. The new information came to him, this, that. There was no reason for him to degrade himself as a leader. He can't do a horrible injustice and kill her. That goes without saying. But nevertheless, there was no reason why he had to embarrass himself. I mean, all he had to do was his obligation to carry out justice. So he should have just said, Tzadka. That's it. She's innocent. Don't kill her. Why? New information. We'll discuss that. It's a separate parsha. Why? Could give many, many excuses. She was raped. This, many possibilities. But he didn't have to disclose. He was the melech, and he could have done what he wanted. But he said, Tzadka mimeni. What he said was that the mimeni was tied to the tzadka. That the justice demanded that he disclose his own avla, his own shame. Why? Because Yehuda recognized that when a person is on trial, it's not just a question of whether they're going to get an onesh, whether they're going to get the proper punishment or not, but really the whole Odom is on trial. The Kavod HaOdom is on trial. It's not simply a trial about meting out justice. Should she be punished? Should she not be punished? That's, of course, the essential trial. But there's a peripheral trial which is just as significant, and that is the condemnation of the personality. So the Pasuk put those two words together. Tzadka mimeni, which means that what Yehuda said was he didn't simply remove her from the penalty of Misa, of death, but he restored her kavod, and the only way to restore her kavod was to disclose that she's pregnant from me. Then her kavod was restored. So that is the true man of justice. That's the true person of Mishpat. That he recognizes that on trial is not simply the guf adam, not simply the physical entity of the individual, whether they'll suffer a penalty or not, but the kavod adam is on trial, and he recognized that the only way to restore kavod was to disclose the fact that she became pregnant from him. And then he said, why did this happen to me? Because I was wrong. Because I waited too long with Sheila. And it was my own protective emotion for my son caused me to do an injustice towards her. And once he disclosed everything, then she was restored to her honorable position. If he wouldn't have done it at that moment, then it never, her cover would never be restored. If he would have said, Tzatka, and then later, even if he wouldn't make up a story later, even if privately, quietly later, he'd tell people what happened and why in a hushed-up situation, not in public. But then he wouldn't have been the man of justice. So Yehuda, by saying Tzatka and the Mimeni, and the Tzatka is one thing, Tzatka Mimeni, the vindication, the Tzatka, was tied to his own shame, because his own shame was the only manner in which he could restore her kavod. And that's the true individual, that's the true man of justice. That's what Tegem Yonason Ben Aziel says, that when he did that, so then they saw that that's the person who really is a leader. Why? Because he leads not because he wants to be a leader, and not because of the fact that he projects a certain person, a certain personality, that he's a great person. See, most leaders, the reason, how do they become leaders? They try to project a certain image. And that's why once something happens to tarnish their image, they realize that if it gets out, that's the end of the leadership. Because the leadership is only totally on a certain image which they're projecting. But by Yehuda, and that's true. Right or wrong, the politician's right or wrong. I mean, it's a hard call. It's afterwards, it's easy to make the call, but at the time, it's a very difficult call to make. But that's because they lead politically. A political leader is one that leads because of a certain projecting on the public a certain image, usually a fraudulent one. And therefore, they realize that they're completely destroyed if they're uncovered. But by Yehuda, his leadership was simply for the sake of bringing justice to the world, like the Rambam says, that nobody wanted to be, the Gdolei Sanhedrin never wanted to be on the Sanhedrin. They were forced to do it and to leave the world of Chachma because they realized that you must have justice in the world, and that was the only time that they accepted a position. Never because of personal gain, and never because they wanted fame, or like Rambam says, to increase their followers or their reputation, but it was simply because of the implementation of justice. That's the bracha, Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. It means your brothers will be moda. They'll be moda. They'll recognize you as a true leader, because they'll recognize the fact that you lead with only one intention, and that is to bring justice to the world. And in a situation where he could have simply even accomplished justice, but not disgrace himself and cause himself tremendous shame, and you see from the story before how he was ashamed. He says that the penil of ours is going to be will be a shanda, will be an embarrassment. So nevertheless, when it came to true justice, he recognized that this is the only way to bring about genuine justice to the individual, and to raise the individual, on the contrary, from the lowest disgrace to the highest covet. That tzadka mimeni. That's the person, that's the proof of the very proof of the fact that this individual is in this position for only one reason, just to bring justice, even if it means his own disgrace. That's ata yoducha achecha, yishtachbu lecha b'nei imecha. That was Yehuda. That's genuine leadership. That was David HaMelech. So that's why Yehuda got the bracha of leadership. By Yosef, it's a little different. See, by Yosef, it's different. By Yosef, the Targum says an interesting thing. It goes through Vayamaru Varobu, Vayistamu Balechitzin, that they all took their vengeance out on Yosef. Venakmoi Vayikule Gavrin Giborin Bale Polguso, and the Bale Machlekis took Nakama and they tortured him. And then it says, V'sovas b'hon nevi, then Targum Ukla says in Pasuk Chavdala, Memtes, V'sovas b'hon nevi usei, And he had Nevuah. Why? Al the Kayim Oraisa Besisra. Interesting. Over here, the Tirgum Unkelus gives you the whole secret to how Yosef was able to manage. Because emotionally, he would not have been able to do it. It wasn't emotional strength. Emotional strength, it would have fallen apart. Because the brothers completely destroyed him emotionally. And then he was completely lost from them and in their eyes, and he was removed completely from his father's from being before his father, and there was nothing left. And emotionally, he would have been completely destroyed, would not be able to continue. That's why it says the brothers looked for him. They looked for him and shook Shalzonos, because they figured that emotionally he's gone. But what really saved him? So Tigamuglis tells you the secret. Al the Kayim Arais of the Sisra. Because the Sisra Torah that he learned from Yaakov Avinu, as Chazal say, that Yaakov Avinu gave him over the Sisra Torah from Shem Ve'eva, the hidden ideas of Torah, the ideas of Hashem, which only Yaakov Avinu had. This he shared with he shared only with Yosef. So the Yedias Hashem that he gained from his father, that knowledge, the Kayim Araisa B'Sisra, the Sisra Torah that he gained from his father, that was the only thing that saved him. That was a different kind of a support. Like he continues, Vishavi Besukfor Rochatsone, and his Rochatsone is his that which supports him. He was Vishavi Besukfor, means Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yedias Hashem was what gave him. That's where his strength came from. The Yedias Hashem, different kind of a strength. Emotional strength would not have pulled him through. He simply could not have made it. And in our society, we always respect emotional strength. Emotional strength has a limitation. In Yahadus, it's not emotional strength. It's bitachon b'Hashem. That is the only thing that could save man. Because emotional strength only goes so far. And the only real strength. And emotional strength is superficial strength. Superficial. It's just psychological. But in Yahadus, there's a far deeper source of strength. And that comes from knowledge, and it comes from Yedias Hashem. And that's the like the Pasuk says about the David HaMelech, that Vayechazek David Bar Hashem Alekav. That what pulled David through? Yedias Hashem. Bar Hashem Alekav. Different kind of strength, a different source of strength. So Yosef had that. Yosef had that strength, and that's why he says, "Bechein Yisromo Dahaval Deraohi VeAchasin Malchusa," and that's why he yarshin Malchus. The Malchus that he yarshin was the Malchus from Paro. So his Malchus came from a different source. His Malchus came from the source of Yedias Hashem through Sisra Torah, different kind of a phenomenon. So in Yahadus, apparently, there are two types of leaders. There's a leader which is the leadership from Yehuda, who is the man of justice. And this is the man who is recognized, and not of course by Rishoyim, but by Tzadikim. He has true recognition. That's Yehuda. But the man of Sisra Torah is not the man of Malchus. See, the man of Sisra Torah is not the man of Malchus. Ordinarily, he's not the one that's programmed for Malchus. He's really programmed to be Yosef Besesa. He's programmed to continue his private existence and to engage in Chachmas Hashem. That's really what his program is. But sometimes the Ashgacha takes such an individual out of his realm and places him into a position of Malchus. That's a special event of the Ashgacha. It's not the ordinary proceedings, not the ordinary, not the ordinary way of things to unfold. But occasionally that does happen. And that was the case of Yosef. Like the Rav one time said, Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yosef out of a Rishus HaYachad and threw him into a Rishus HaRab. That's what the Ashgacha did. It's a different kind of a situation. Such a leader emerges only because of the Ashgacha. Such a leader, of course, was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the same exact thing. And he was the private individual, the individual that was the Roi Tzon and pursued metaphysical knowledge, but the Ashgacha took him out of that Rishus and put him into and made him the leader of Klal Yisrael. So that's a different kind of an event. It's a different kind of an event. But that's leadership via an exceptional case, via the Ashgacha. Occasionally, the Ashgacha does that. But that's not the ordinary system of Malchus. The ordinary system of Malchus is Yehuda. So it's true that Yosef was Zocha to Malchus, but he wasn't really the man of Malchus. He was the man of Sisrei Torah. He was the man of the pursuit of the metaphysical. But the Ashgacha took him out of that private situation and placed him in a public situation of being a leader to Paro, being Paro's advisor and Paro's leader and Moshe B'chavar's Mitzrayim. So that's really what the Torah describes here. In the Brachos, the Torah describes two types of leaders. A leader who is a genuine leader, leadership is his nature, and that's Yehuda. And then there's the rare individual who has nothing to do with leadership. His nature is really programmed for pursuit of chachma, metaphysical knowledge, and the Torah of Shem Ve'Ever, and a completely different world. But such an individual usually stays in that world. But occasionally the Ashgacha steps in and takes such an individual out of his private realm and places him in the realm of leadership. Of course, when such an individual becomes a leader, he's the greatest leader. But that's not the way the brachas go. The brachas go in the regular manner. So that's really the distinction between Yehuda, who is Zocha to Malchus, to Ata Yaducha Achecho, the genuine man of justice, and Yosef, who was a leader, and he did inherit Malchus, but only temporarily. Temporarily, he inherited Malchus. But on a permanent basis, he wasn't really, he wasn't designated for Malchus. He was designated for pursuit of Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava, different, to be in a completely different realm, a different realm of existence. Okay. That's the answer to that, good question of why Yosef, the difference between the Malchus of Yosef and the Malchus of Yehuda. Interesting is that the Vayhi Bishurin Melech, of course, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He was that kind of a Melech. That was the Ashgacha dictated that he should be such a Melech, and that was really the criticism of Shmuel, that the Om wanted a Melech, that like the Ramban says, because they had Shmuel then, so it means they had the leader who was the Navi, that the Navi was the leader. That was the Ashgacha. He was the leader. But Klal Yisrael was wrong in wanting to remove that kind of a leader and to go for the leader of even the true leader of Malchus. But to switch from the leadership of the Navi, who they were fortunate to have a situation that they had the leadership of the individual who pursues the greatest metaphysical knowledge, that's the Navi, and they were in that fortunate situation. In that fortunate situation, they shouldn't have turned to Malchus, even a good Malchus, even a correct Malchus, even Malchus Yehuda. But it was wrong, because they still had the opportunity to have a Melech that was the individual who pursues the metaphysical knowledge, and he was functioning as a melech, and that's why the pasuk says lo oschom also Akash Baruch Hu said tishmo, because to have the metaphysical leader, that's the greatest leader, and it's not always possible to have such a thing. That's the Ashgacha brings that about. But if the Ashgacha does bring that about, and one is fortunate enough to be under such a leader, it's wrong to turn to the leadership of Malchus, even the correct Malchus, because that's not it's not the same kind of a leader. That's really the pshat and the whole interpretation of the whole incident with Shmuel Anavi. Lo oscho mosi ki mosi, because they had the leader of the leadership of the Navi, and they looked for the leadership of the Malchus, and that was a chait. That was considered a chait. Okay. Any questions? Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, why Jews are named after Yehuda? Yeah, that's right. Why is that so? They were called Jews. Yeah, because the answer is like this. It's a good question. I'm sorry to get back to that. Yeah, the answer is that the world can't recognize the leadership of the individual that is a Yoshev, that's a Yoshev Besesa. Is not for the world. The world can't recognize that kind of a leader. The world isn't on a level. You see, Yehuda is the true political, really genuine leader. So that kind of an individual is the one that's recognized for the world. The world is not on the level to recognize the leadership of the leadership of the Navi, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leadership of Yosef. That requires the Hashgacha to intervene and create certain situations. But for the world, the Yehuda is the one that personifies the Jew, because he's the man of justice and the man of leadership and the man of courage, Yodcha Baruch Levecha, and he's the courageous leader. And the one that looks for truth and justice, that's the one that the world recognizes. He's the one that was programmed for that was given the ability to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and the one that's recognized as the leader of as the leader in terms of world leadership. That's why the Shem Yehuda is the name that the Jew goes by, because it's the name in the world. The world calls us Jews. Okay. What else? I can't hear you. Who are?
Yeah, you said a minute about Yehuda and Yosef, that the Namah coming from Yosef.
Yosef. The Mashiach ben Yosef. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, the Mashiach ben Yosef is a Nerag. Yeah, it's the Medrash. Yeah, it's true. That's a very good point. That's a good point. Which means, you mean to say that the world, it could be that's the way the Rambam was shot in the Medrash, because the Rambam doesn't have a Mashiach ben Yosef. But it could be that's the way the Rambam learned shot in the Medrash, that it means that a Mashiach ben Yosef would really be ideal, but he would be destroyed by the world because they couldn't tolerate him. So you need the world can't recognize the Mashiach ben Yosef. The world needs the Mashiach ben Yehuda. That's a good shot. It's very good. That's very good. But see, the Ram doesn't have Mashiach ben Yosef. Yes, Shnei Mashiachim, David and the Melech HaMashiach. And apparently he learns that Medrash as a drush. And it'll be a very, very good interpretation. Very good. Yeah, there's a very interesting Das Kinyan in Bala Taisus, by the way. I'll mention it. Okay. I don't know which tape you got to put on the first tape. Okay. Okay.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
In the Kaya Maraisa
Besisra. But that kind of a Besisra doesn't mean just simply that they did it hiding. It means Araisa Besisra means the Torah that is Besesa. That's what it means. A different kind of Torah. It's the Araisa that is in the Seser Beleva Adam, Besesa. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll leave that to her. Okay. You know, the kind of rice of the sister, of course, means literally he kept the besesa, but it's a different kind of a kiyum rice of the sister. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of kiyum rice of the sister. It's the rice that is in the seser b'leva adam, the besesa. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll leave that to her. Okay. You know, the kind of rice of the sister, of course, means literally he kept the besesa, but it's a different kind of a kiyum rice of the sister. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of kiyum rice of the sister. That's besesa leva adam. That's a different kind of a Torah. So the Araisa Besisra is a reference to the it's kept Beseser. The reason why it's kept Beseser is because, by the way, I mean, now that you mentioned that, I'll just mention another point about that. The Kayam Araisa Besisra, that Araisa Besisra doesn't mean just that he kept it quietly and nobody knew about it. I mean, what does that mean? A lot of people do that. What it means is Kaimaraisa Besisra means there's a certain kind of Torah that's Besesa. There's a certain kind of Torah that intrinsically is kept Besesa. You see, it's not the way you do it. It's the nature of the Kiyomaraisa is only a Kiyom of Besesa. See, the Rambam says that, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim talks about that. He says, "Don't move Vavchem on Mashiach." It's the Araisa that is in the Seser Beleva Adam, the Seser. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll leave that to her. Okay. You know, the kind of Araisa Besisra, of course, means literally he kept the Besesa, but it's a different kind of a Kiyom Araisa Besisra. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of Kiyom Araisa Besisra. That's Besesa Leva Adam. That's a different kind of a Torah. So the Araisa Besisra is a reference to the. It's kept Beseser. The reason why it's kept Beseser is because, by the way, I mean, now that you mention that, I'll just mention another point about that. The Kiyom Araisa Besisra. That Araisa Besisra doesn't mean just that. He kept it quietly and nobody knew about it. I mean, what does that mean? A lot of people do that. What it means is Kayam Araisa Besisra means there's a certain kind of Torah that's Besesa. There's a certain kind of Torah that intrinsically, it's the Araisa that is in the Seser Beleva Adam, Besesa. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll leave that to her. Okay. You know, the kind of rice of the sister, of course, means literally he kept the besesa, but it's a different kind of a kiyum rice of the sister. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of kiyum rice of the sister. That's besesa leva adam. That's a different kind of a Torah. So the rice of the sister is a reference to the. It's kept besesar. The reason why it's kept besesar is because, by the way, I mean, now that you mention that, I'll just mention another point about that. The Kayam Araisa Besisra. That Araisa Besisra doesn't mean just that he kept it quietly and nobody knew about it. I mean, what does that mean? A lot of people do that. What it means is Kayam Araisa Besisra means there's a certain kind of Torah that's Besesa. There's a certain kind of Torah that intrinsically is kept Besesa. You see, it's not the way you do it. It's the nature of the kiyum ha'raisa is only a kiyum of besesa. See, the Rambam says that the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim talks about that. He says, "Domu v'vavchem imu v'vavchem al mishkavtem v'domu sela." So the Rambam says it's the ha'raisa that is in the seser b'lev ha'adam, the seser. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll wear that though. Okay. You know, the kind of raisa b'sisra, of course, means literally he kept the b'sisra. But it's a different kind of a kiyum raisa b'sisra. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of kiyum raisa b'sisra. That's b'sisra leva adam. That's a different kind of a Torah. So the raisa b'sisra is a reference to the. It's kept b'sisra. The reason why it's kept b'sisra is because, by the way, I mean, now that you mention that, I'll just mention another point about that. The kayam maraisa b'sisra. That maraisa b'sisra doesn't mean just that he kept it quietly and nobody knew about it. I mean, what does that mean? A lot of people do that. What it means is kayam maraisa b'sisra means there's a certain kind of Torah that's b'sisra. There's a certain kind of Torah that intrinsically is kept b'seser. You see, it's not the way you do it. It's the nature of the kiyum ha'raisa. It's the ha'raisa that is in the seser b'lev ha'adam, b'seser. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll wear that, though. Okay. You know, the kind of raisa b'seser, of course, means literally he kept the b'seser, but it's a different kind of a kiyum ha'raisa b'sisra. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of kiyum ha'raisa b'sisra. That's b'seser leva adam. That's a different kind of a Torah. So the raisa b'sisra is a reference to the. It's kept b'seser. The reason why it's kept b'seser is because, by the way, I mean, now that you mention that, I'll just mention another point about that. The kayam maraisa b'sisra. That maraisa b'sisra doesn't mean just that he kept it quietly and nobody knew about it. I mean, what does that mean? A lot of people do that. What it means is kayam maraisa b'sisra means there's a certain kind of Torah that's b'sisra. There's a certain kind of Torah that intrinsically is kept b'sisra. You see, it's not the way you do it. It's the nature of the kiyum ha'raisa is only a kiyum of b'sesar. See, the Rambam says that the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim talks about that. He says, "Domu v'vavchem imu v'vavchem al mishkavtem v'domu sela." So the Rambam says there's a kind of knowledge that a person doesn't share with anybody. He has no desire to share it. It's a different kind of knowledge. Raisa that is in the seser b'leva adam, the seser. That's what it means. You want me to explain that? I'll wear that, though. Okay. You know, the kind of raisa b'sisra, of course, means literally he kept the b'sesar, but it's a different kind of a kiyum ha'raisa b'sisra. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of kiyum ha'raisa b'sisra. That's b'sesar leva adam. That's a different kind of a Torah.